the last hour. The scenes described in prophecy, the events that will transpire in sequence right up to the coming of Christ, are presented in many places in the Bible. We will not start from the falling of the stars or the dark day or the great earthquake, but these lessons concentrate on the events that will take place very soon before the coming of Christ. As one considers the news reports and ponders upon conditions on this planet, it is not difficult to come to the conclusion that things cannot continue as they are now indefinitely. The Bible and the spirit of prophecy give to us ample explanations of these events so that we can sober up and relate ourselves to them in such a way as to live continually conscious that the end of all things is at hand, and that therefore we must be ready momentarily for any eventuality. Lesson number one, future events. The Apostle Paul, looking to the last days, sensed the urgency of these events. "It is high time to awake," he said. And his statement of awakening becomes all the more urgent when we think of Christ's parables of the 10 sleepy virgins. They all slumbered and slept. And if the 10 virgins apply to the total people of God who are waiting the coming of the bridegroom, then we all are asleep. And so Paul's message, "It is high time to awake out of sleep," comes to us like a shake of the shoulders. And then he adds, "Our salvation is nearer than when we believed." In other words, what progress are we making? When did we become Adventists? 5 years ago? 50 years ago? His coming is nearer. Are there any changes? I received a sobering experience that I have related many times. One of the churches of which I was a pastor, a sister took time out to use her irritated eloquence to chastise me from the crown of my head to the sole of my feet. I have never received such a dressing from anyone in my life. And when she stomped out of the room and slammed the door, the treasurer of the church, who was a silent witness of what had transpired, said to me, "Pastor, don't worry about her. She and I were baptized at the same time, and she's just the same as she was then." And I did a little figuring, and the baptism had occurred 30 years before. And so the treasurer had noticed that the ill temper and the ferocious vocabulary had not been modified in 30 years. And yet our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. Part number one, events during probation. Probation is that time that God has granted to his people to prepare for the final judgment. It is a time during which man may exercise his option. But the close of probation occurs when, through many years of habit, changes are no longer possible. The law of sin and death takes over. The inexorable control of years of bad habit bind the human being in chains. Sometimes we think that God lowers the boom and closes man's possibility of changing. I don't think so. I think God merely registers, I shouldn't say merely, God registers when man's actions bring him to a point of no return. He reaches that point. He decides over and over and over again till he forms inexorable habit patterns. And if his patterns are on the side of wrong, then he which is filthy will stay filthy still. And if his habit patterns are on the right side, then he which is holy and righteous will stay holy and righteous still. So probationary time is the time that human beings have when their choices are still open. They haven't yielded themselves fully to be servants either of Christ or of Satan. The Lord declares that he will shake the house of Israel as one shakes a sieve. Now the sieve is to separate the grain from the husks and the pebbles and the sand and the dirt. The winnowing is also used when the husks are shaken off or blown free from the useless chaff. So there is a time coming when God's people will be separated. Not one living stone that can be polished after the similitude of a palace will ever be lost, is the second part of this text. No pebble shall fall on the earth. God will separate the wicked from among the just. And this shaking time is brought about by all kinds of external and internal pressures. As we think of the condition of God's people described in Matthew 25, half of them are foolish, and the fool leaves God out of his reckoning, the fool says in his heart there's no God, and half of them were wise. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Ellen White declares that the five foolish virgins are represented by the Laodicean, self-satisfied, slumbering condition. So there is going to be a series of events that will make the line of demarcation between the foolish virgins and the wise virgins perfectly clear. Part number two deals with the sealing work. This is another biblical term. The seal is the crystallizing of the disposition. The good are now settled for eternity as good. They have made enough choices. They have allowed the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ to infuse them. He is living out his life in their lives. They have settled into the truth, and they are sealed with the seal of the living God. The Sabbath is the sign of this sealing. The latter rain is the gift of the Holy Spirit that ripens the fruit that has been engendered by the former rain. The former rain is the ministry of the Holy Spirit that produces fruit. The latter rain is the ministry of the Holy Spirit that ripens the fruit. And so we are to pray to the Lord at the time of the latter rain that the sealing and the final settling in by the Holy Spirit ministry in our lives may really be efficacious in our relationship to Jesus Christ. Part number three. There will be external forces that will help to produce this shaking and sealing. The civil enforcement of Sunday will bring many decisions right to the forefront. In great controversy, we are told that the United States, that we so much love, will repudiate every principle of its constitution. Every principle of its constitution. Troubles, economical, political, social, will be raging in these lands. And then, having tried everything, Congress will recommend trying a little bit of religion and forcing all the citizenry to observe Sunday. Now, when this civil enforcement of Sunday comes and separates the wheat from the tares, the sheep from the goats, the wise from the unwise, the awake from the sleeping, then the awake and the wise and the wheat will be persecuted. And this persecution, part number four, will lead to a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even until that time. The time of trouble doesn't come in isolation. The world is torn by war, by civil hatred, by anarchy, by religious disintegration, by the rise of devilism, by social upset, by sexual perversity. And right into this already disintegrating society is injected the element of religious war. The state declares that it can enforce religious enactments, and this will bring a time of trouble such as never was. And right at this juncture, the plagues will begin to fall. Part number five. These seven last plagues are not universal. They overlap, and they will not be immediately recognized. The plagues will be falling, and there will be those who will not recognize them as plagues. The enforcement of Sunday and its failure by civil penalties, economic boycott, will eventually lead to a death decree, by which it will be permissible for the citizenry to slaughter Sabbath keepers after a certain time. God's people will then fly into the mountains and deserts to escape death. The promise is that God will never leave nor forsake the righteous. Part number six, as they have gained victory spiritually by the blood of the Lamb and by their testimony, they will be protected in the last days. And if you care to analyze the events that lead up in part number six, you will form a total of at least 22 such events. We obviously have no time to analyze them one by one, but these will be encouraging happenings to tell us that the coming of Jesus Christ is right upon us. The plagues will not be of long duration. There is no prophetic time after 1844, so it's useless to conjecture that the plagues will be 1 year, because it says one place in 1 day. It also says in 1 hour is the judgment come. But we can rejoice that the time is very short. And I think we ought to read, reread, and memorize Psalm 91 as we look to these terrifying future events. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. I will be with you always, even unto the end. And while the Spirit of God leaves the wicked, God's Spirit, holy angels, the presence of Christ will never leave the righteous. We can therefore face the future events with perfect trust in our loving Savior.